Shalom Aleichem. For Parshas Devarim, we have five Divrei Torah. Parshas Devarim starts obviously the Sefer of Devarim, which is also called Mishneh Torah, in which Moshe Rabbeinu recounts a lot of the occurrences that happened to Klal Yisrael, Yetzias Mitzrayim, and throughout the Midbar, throughout the desert. And in fact, he recounts a number of the mitzvahs as well. Approximately, actually over 200 mitzvahs are discussed in Sefer Devarim. 70 of them are new mitzvahs. And the goal of Moshe Rabbeinu in recounting these specific mitzvahs and the new mitzvahs and all the rebuke, but also inspiration that he gives to Klal Yisrael is indeed to prepare them to enter into the land of Israel, which Moshe Rabbeinu will not be accompanying them to. Our specific parsha, Parshas Devarim, talks about rebuke of Klal Yisrael, appointment of judges, what happened with the Meraglim, the appointing of the Meraglim, the reason for the Meraglim, talks about various encounters that Klal Yisrael had with nations, and the conquest of Og, Me'ever LaYarden, on the other side of the Jordan River, and also the inheritance of Reuven, Gad, and half of the Shevet of Menasheh, that they would take the land Me'ever LaYarden. We are going to start at the beginning, almost all the way at the beginning of the parsha, with Dvar Torah number one. Moshe Rabbeinu says as follows, that he's speaking to Klal Yisrael, he's recounting the mitzvahs and the like, but he says all of that discussion was acharei hakoso esichon melech ha'amari asher yoshe b'cheshbon. It was after Klal Yisrael militarily were successful in overcoming Sichon, the king of the Amori, and they were located in the Cheshbon. That word will be important for us. And also when they militarily were successful against Og Melech HaBashan, and he sat in Ashtaroth Bedrei. And the Chidush Erim says as follows, very interesting, that it was only after Klal Yisrael were successful in getting rid of those nations, wiping out those nations, that Moshe Rabbeinu is able to recount the mitzvahs and exhort Klal Yisrael. And the concept is as follows, that as long as those two kings and their nations were around, they represented the Shnei Kochos Hara Ha'atzumim, two evil powers that indeed had very negative influences on Klal Yisrael. And as long as they were around, and as long as Bnei Yisrael were in close proximity to them, the words of Moshe Rabbeinu were unable to penetrate into the hearts of Klal Yisrael. And Sichon and Og, those are the kings, they represented very different things. It was Sichon, who was the king located in Cheshbon, who represented making impure the thoughts of Klal Yisrael, their ideas, their concepts, their perspectives, their hashkafas. And that's why it says, Asher Yesheb b'Cheshbon. Cheshbon means analysis. Nowadays in Israel, it means mathematics, computations. And it was Sichon that disqualified, made impure the machshavot, the thoughts of Klal Yisrael, as he sat b'Cheshbon in making computations and analysis. So that was on a metaphysical, spiritual level. And it was Og who was having a control, a power over Klal Yisrael when it came to military, meaning physical issues. And that's why he was located in Ashtaroth Bedrei. That's where he sojourned. The word Edrei means Ezroa, meaning your arm, your bicep, your strength. That's what he represented. And it was only with the removal of Og, Melech HaBashan, and Sichon, Melech HaMori, Sichon representing the thwarted, the negative power of thought, and Og representing enemies of Klal Yisrael as a military threat. And it was only at that point that Moshe Rabbeinu says, Acharei Hakoso, after we were successful in those, now I can recount the Torah that I want to teach to Klal Yisrael. Now we are moving forward to Dvar Torah number two. Moshe Rabbeinu is talking about the need to establish judges in Klal Yisrael. It was too much of a difficulty, too much of a challenge from one person, Moshe Rabbeinu alone, to manage, to judge, to adjudicate the quarrels and differences between members of Klal Yisrael. And in that context, he makes the following statement. We're still in Perek Aleph. Pasuk Yud V'inchem Hayom Kochavei HaShamayim L'Rov. Today, here, you are like the Kochavim and the Shamayim. You are like the stars in the heaven. There's a multitude of Klal Yisrael. And the Medrash says, right now, nowadays, Klal Yisrael is indeed compared to the Kochavim, but in the future, they will be compared to something else. They will be compared to fire. And the Medrash in Medrash Rabbah cites a pasuk ki Hashem Eish Ochla, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a fire that devours, and it says by Klal Yisrael as well, Vahaya Or Yisrael Le'esh Ukdosha Le'lahava. Klal Yisrael indeed will be compared to fire and to flame. So the concept here, says the Divrei Sha'arei Chaim, is as follows. When it comes to the stars, stars obviously are bright in the night. They flicker, they can be seen, they are beautiful. But that is only the case when it is clear out. When there is clarity in the sky, then at night, the stars can be seen. On the other hand, if it is cloudy, if there are barriers in the way, indeed the stars cannot be seen and cannot be appreciated. And in contrast to that, when we have a burning fire, burning at night, burning even if there is a lot of darkness and there's a lot in the way, a lot of interference and ash and the like, nonetheless, that fire is going to be very prominent. It is going to light up and illuminate the sky in a very significant way. So we see here that the stars, if things are going well, if there's clarity in the sky, they can be seen. Otherwise, they can't. But a fire, a burning fire, a significant power fire, that is going to be seen regardless. And the parallel to Klal Yisrael, nowadays Klal Yisrael, we are compared to the stars. And that means that we can shine and we can do great, but that is only when we have menucha, when we have tranquility, that is when we can be successful. On the other hand, when we have interference, when we hit turbulence, be it turbulence on an emotional level, or when we are encountering our sonim, when we are encountering our enemies and the like, that interferes with our ability to be accomplishing what we need to accomplish. It interferes with our ability to be successful. It interferes with our ability to maximize what we are doing. And that is represented by Klal Yisrael at that time and nowadays as well, when we are like the stars that shining. When things are good, we can be successful. When things are difficult and bumpy, that definitely gets in our way. But in the future, Amir Hashem, when Klal Yisrael will be like that fire, that burning fire, that there will not be things that will interfere with our ability to accomplish what we are here to do. No gzeiras by our enemies, no foreign powers and the like are going to get in the way of our worship of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and our attempts to be successful in what we are here in attempting to accomplish. And in fact, interestingly, we bring it down more to a practical level. We're talking here about the difference between the stars and the fire, and the stars can be successful when there's tranquility, but the fire doesn't have that barrier. And the same thing applies to Klal Yisrael, that we are compared to the stars and we can accomplish things when we have menucha and tranquility. But when there are turbulence, we need to be like the fire. That can apply as well to each and every individual, that when we are trying to accomplish, we are able to do that when we have mental clarity, when things aren't bothering us, when people aren't disturbing us, when we don't have negative encounters with others. But when we do have those disturbances, it's very difficult to sit and to accomplish what we want to do with a clear mind. And the bracha should be that we should have clarity and we should be able to accomplish what we're here to accomplish. And we should be able to, despite difficult times, turbulence, we should be able to accomplish as much as possible and be able to work through the difficulties, because we are here to accomplish, we are here to do good, we are here to do chesed, we are here to daven with kavana, we are here to focus on our learning and not let the difficulties and travails that we encounter during the day get in our way. And that should be our bracha, that we should have that bracha to be like that fire, that things don't get in the way, but not like the stars. Also good accomplishing, but when we have the disturbances, we need to try to emulate the burning fire, not the stars. Now we are moving forward to Dvar Torah number 3, says Moshe Rabbeinu, a very famous pasuk, just a couple psukim later, Perek Aleph, pasuk Yud Beis, Echa Esa Levadi, Tarchachem Ma'asachem V'rivchem, at this time of the year in the laning next to Tisha B'Av, that's sometimes laned with the trup of Tisha B'Av, the trup of Eicha. So how could I the big burden of your Tircha, your Mas and Rivchem, and your quarrel. So what are these three words here? So the Tarchachem, looking in the English, it says the contentiousness of Klal Yisrael. How could I bear that? How could I bear the Masachem, the burdens of Klal Yisrael, and Rivchem, the quarrels of Klal Yisrael? And truth be told, These sound pretty similar. So what's the difference between them, and what do they represent? So this is Dvar Torah number 3 on the Pasuk, Echa esal levadik tarchechem umasachem verivchem. And says the Ramban as follows, these represent three very different things. And he says, fascinating as well, this is also representing in the conversation that Moshe Rabbeinu had with his father-in-law Yisro, when Yisro came to the Midbar to see Klal Yisrael, how they were doing. And he sees that Moshe Rabbeinu is there judging all of Klal Yisrael. And he says, how can you be judging all of them? What are you doing? What's going on here? Moshe Rabbeinu has to explain the responsibilities of being a ruler of Klal Yisrael. And it goes as follows, the definition of Tarchachem, which we says is contentiousness. That is the difficulty and the challenge of teaching Klal Yisrael the Torah. And in fact, when Moshe Rabbeinu was conversing and responding to Yisro, he says, one of my responsibilities, v'odati elahem es chukei alokim v'es Torah sav, I have to teach them the Torah, the chukim, and the Torah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that is going to be the Tarchachem. The Tircha, it's a lot of effort to be able to teach Klal Yisrael, all of these people of Klal Yisrael. So Tarchachem is the burden and responsibility of teaching Torah. And when it comes to the second of those words, Ma'asachem, what's this burden? What is Ma'asachem? So says the Ramban, that represents specifically, I have to daven for each and every Jew and the needs of each and every Jew. Each has its challenges and difficulties. And that indeed, that challenge of Moshe Rabbeinu caring for each Jew and davening for each Jew, that's represented again in that conversation between Yisro and Moshe Rabbeinu, where Moshe Rabbeinu responded to Yisro, Ki avoy elai amli drash alakim, when they come to me and they wanted to be Dorish, ask for a Kadosh Baruch Hu, that's talking about when they have needs, individual subjective needs, and I have to daven, I have to turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so that their needs will be answered. So says the Ramban, this is the second Masachem, is the burden and responsibility for davening for each of them. And what's Rivchem, quarrel, this is the most literal of them, when they have fights, when they have debates, when they have, for example, monetary disputes, all types of disputes, they come to me to judge them, and I have to judge them. And Moshe Rabbeinu said to Yisro, V'shafatati ben Yishu ben Reyo, I have to judge. They have to make the decisions for them. And there we have it, says the Ramban, Tarchachem represents the responsibility of Moshe Rabbeinu to teach Torah to Klal Yisrael. And Masachem, the burden, represents his davening on behalf of each of the individuals. V'rivchem is the role of a judge deciding the disputes between the people of Klal Yisrael. And in fact, this has to be the goal and responsibility of each manning that we have in Klal Yisrael. It's not simply to teach Torah. It's not simply to daven on behalf. It's not simply to make shalom between all of them. But a real manning has to take on these three roles, these three responsibilities, just as Moshe Rabbeinu did. He has to be teaching Klal Yisrael the Torah. He has to be davening on behalf of each individual and also bringing shalom when there are inevitably disputes between people. We are now moving forward to Dvar Torah number 4. We are still in the same parak Aleph, Pasuk Chav Beis, and we are talking about when Klal Yisrael approached Moshe Rabbeinu requesting the Meraglim. And it says in the Pasuk, Vatikruvun Elai Kochem, all of you approached me. If we look in Rashi, it says, Be'arbuvia. It was a mass of you, a crowd of you approached me with no order, with no derech eretz, with no kavod. It was men, women, it was kids, and the kids were pushing the elders, and you all had all this great alacrity and desire to push your agenda upon me, that you wanted Meraglim, you wanted to send the spies into the land of Israel. And says Moshe Rabbeinu, this contrasts to another time you approached me, and it says when it came to Matan Torah, it wasn't all of you as a great crowd, but there was a time that I was approached in an orderly way, and it was the Rosh Shivtechem, your leaders and your Zakenim, they approached, and it was orderly and organized, and at that point, it was the children, they gave cover to the Zakenim, they gave cover to the elderly, they said, elderly, you go in front of him, and we have a sharp contrast here between the Kreva, the approaching of Moshe Rabbeinu when it came to the Meraglim, that it was Be'arbuvio, it was a crowd, it was a mass of people with no kavod given one to the other, and Matan Torah where there was kavod. And the question here, an interesting kavod, question was asked as follows. Here we seem to be mentioning Matan Torah, and on the one hand we are contrasting it, but we are also mentioning, and it could be read The implication here is there was something wrong also with the approach of Klal Yisrael when it came to Matan Torah as well. So both were somewhat lacking, the approach of Klal Yisrael when it came to the Meraglim, and also the approach of Klal Yisrael to Moshe when it came to Matan Torah, although it was orderly, but that was lacking as well. And says the Chidushei Harim as follows. In fact, why are we mentioning the Kraver, the approach of Klal Yisrael when it came to the Matan Torah? Because that was also devoid of something. That was also lacking. And Moshe Rabbeinu is not only giving them tochacha, rebuke how they approached him when it came to the Meraglim, but he's giving them tochacha as well in how they approached him when it came to Matan Torah as follows. Clearly, when it came to the approach of the Meraglim, it was a balagan. It was a lack of respect. It was not approached correctly, but Moshe Rabbeinu is saying you have your priorities mixed up. Because when it came to asking for the Meraglim, it should have been that you send the elders to request what you desire. We like to send out spies, and this is how we like to do it, and we like to have them to go into the cities and see how we are going to be successful, how we know we'll be successful, but what our plan should be, what our route should be in overcoming the land of Israel. That would be the appropriate way to do it, but you didn't do it that way. You had the lack of kavod. It was just a mass of people coming and approaching. On the other hand, when it came to Matan Torah, you didn't have alacrity. You didn't have desire for the Torah. And that's why the younger one, they sit back. And that time, we're going to sit back, let the elderly come and deal with it. But that's the time when it comes to the Matan Torah that you should have been running. Everyone should have been running with alacrity and desire to accept the Torah. So your priorities are reversed. When it came to Meraglim, everyone is running. Then we came to Matan Torah, not everyone is running. Many people were not running. It should have been the reverse. When it comes to the Meraglim, send the Zakenim to deal with it. When it comes to Matan Torah, everyone should be running en masse to receive the Torah. And that's why we have Tochacha, not only how Klal Yisrael approached Moshe Rabbeinu when it came to the Meraglim, but also when it came to the giving of the Torah. And in fact, we have the same, unfortunately, oftentimes mismatched and inappropriate priorities when it comes to making money, earning money, getting up for a meeting, or whatever the case may be. We are there. We are ready to go. But when it comes to being on time for minyan or focusing on our learning, unfortunately, our head is elsewhere. We are thinking about the job and the next deal and the like. And we have to try to emulate what should have been with Klal Yisrael. We should emulate what Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, that the priority has to be the Torah. It doesn't have to be all the time that we're learning, we're coveting the Torah, even in half an hour a day, but it has to be with focus, and it should not be that our mind is on work when we have our limited time for davening and learning. We are now moving forward to the last of our Torah, number 5, and this again is Moshe Rabbeinu discussing the Meraglim, and he says as follows in Perek Aleph, Pasuk Chav Gimel, Vayita Beinei Hadavar, even to me, it appeared okay, it appeared a good thing that we should send Meraglim. And the question that the Sfas Emes asks is, if even Moshe Rabbeinu bought into the concept we should send Meraglim, why is it considered a sin of Bnei Yisrael? Why is it considered a chait that they were asking for Meraglim? And he answers very interesting as follows. He says, Moshe Rabbeinu is not saying, I was so in, I really wanted the Meraglim, and I it's a lechatchil, it's the Meraglim, and I'm really on the same page with you. That's not what was going on here. Moshe Rabbeinu, in fact, is giving them Musar. And he says, your desire for the Meraglim was so overpowering and so convincing, and your pagam, what were you lacking, that deficiency you had, it was so powerful that it even impacted me in my desire to send. Meaning, I wouldn't have been in for this, but it was so overpowering that you wanted it, that I had to go along with it. I went along. It impacted me, is what he's saying. It even had an impact on me. And we see that the pagam of Klal Yisrael can even be nogea. It can even have an impact on the greatest leaders of Klal Yisrael. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu, that's, and he's, in other words, he's giving a tochach. He's not saying, I as a lechatchila bought into this. It wasn't a lechatchila for Moshe Rabbeinu to send the spies as well. But he's saying it was such a powerful, important thing to you, and it was such came from a deficient place, but nonetheless, I agreed to it. And when Klal Yisrael, even though they're doing the wrong thing, it indeed can have an impact on the manhigim of Klal Yisrael. Thank you so much for listening. Have a wonderful day.